This morning, we're going to continue the discussion we began last week, thinking about who we are as a people. And in particular, we want to talk about the idea of what it means to be Spirit-led. Can you join me in a few moments of quiet reflection and silence and prayer, what it means for God to speak to His people and lead us where He would go? Constant motion, chatter, and noise, where productivity is valued above character, there is something downright disturbing about silence. And so we do everything we can to fill the silence. And there's a danger in that as Christians, because as Christians, we believe a lot of the really good things happen when nothing else is happening. A lot of the real good things are spoken when nothing else is being spoken. We ask the question, who are we and where are we going? And we believe that the answer to those questions are rooted in our ideals, that we are a people who are passion-driven, forward-thinking, and Spirit-led. To be Spirit-led, we have to give pause from our own intuition and instinct, desires, and agenda, and take some time to listen to what it is that God is saying. For a moment, bite our own tongues, and listen to the Lord our God. Our text today throughout the service will be from Psalm 143. Verses 1 and 7 both have this sentiment. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my pleas for mercy and your faithfulness. Answer me in your righteousness. Did you catch the two things going on there? Someone is speaking to God and he expects God to respond. I don't know what he's asking for. I want to be clear there. I don't know that he's necessarily saying, God, give me a burning bush out in my front yard and speak to me in an audible voice so I'll know that you're there. I suspect that's probably not it. And the vast majority of Christian life is spent not seeing or hearing anything like that. But God, in his word and through his people, through our experiences, through our failures and our successor, is our constant teacher, if we would expect him to be and take the time to listen. Answer me quickly, O Lord, my spirit fails. Hide not your face from me, lest I be like those who go down to the pit. The psalmist believes the difference between success and failure is whether or not he will have opportunity to hear the voice of God and know what he should do. He doesn't believe that he will have success if he chooses his own path. He instead believes that only when God makes the choice, when God responds, and says, this is the way that you should go, then there is hope and possibility for success. We expect God to hear us when we pray. This morning, we want to emphasize that we need to hear him as well. Don't pass up this opportunity this morning. Enjoy the calm and the silences, and let us give attention to what it is that God says to us through his word, through his spirit, through our actions, through our behaviors, through our blessings, through our successes, through our failures, through all the good things that God has put in us. Let's pay attention to what God says this morning. We expect God to hear us, but we really need, in addition to that, to hear him. I want to thank this church for being who you are. In many ways, in the last few years, you've helped. What's the word? You've gotten me out of my comfort zone in ways that I haven't always expected, and I'm appreciative for that. Probably none more so in a way than this morning. In my early days as a minister, one of the first topics that I dug into seriously was the doctrine of the Holy Spirit, and I was very interested in that. And I was, as you might guess because you've met me, an analytic young man who thought he knew everything. And so I had this view of the Holy Spirit that was clear and concise and restrained and reserved and at least partially wrong, as it turns out. It was based on things that are true, by the way. Most bad ideas are. But I had a very narrow and limited view of what the Holy Spirit might or might not do, because I was only willing to attribute to him those things that I could personally understand. Over time, I decided that was a bit too restrained and it wasn't fair to the God I serve to set those kind of boundaries. However, that meant that I had no idea what the actual answer was about how the Holy Spirit does things. And so I did what every brave preacher does. I stopped talking about that subject. That way, I could never be wrong. See? And then kind of in the third turning of my life in this subject, I found that a lot of the things I believed back then I still believe in, but what I have left off is the account of how. I was always fascinated about how the Holy Spirit accomplished what he accomplished and became oblivious to the affirmations of Scripture of what he does do. And so today, what I want to share with you is not an account of how. And when we get to the end, you're going to come to me and say, yeah, but how does the Holy Spirit do that? And I'm going to say, awkward silence, because I have no idea. And I kind of like it that way. And I think he kind of likes it that way. If he really wanted us to know all the details, he'd fill us in. Instead, today, we just have a set of affirmations, faith-based statements that we believe these are things that God does, and this is what we're listening for when we say we want to be Spirit-led. All of it comes from Psalm 143. Verse 2 says, "Enter not into judgment with your servant, for no one living is righteous before you." The first thing I have to emphasize when I say we are Spirit-led, that has to mean that we are listening to God and not ourselves in disguise. Quite often, and even and especially among very religious folks, we have a tendency to christen our own ideas by saying, the Spirit is leading me to, and then fill in the blank with what I want. But listen to the concern of the psalmist. When he speaks to God, he says, please don't take me to court. You know what's one thing I never do with myself? Take myself to court. In my own head, I'm quite always right. I mean, if I thought I was wrong, I wouldn't think that anymore. Just, you know, logically, of course, you think you're right all the time. If I ask you, do you think you're right all the time? You say, well, no, because I'm a humble person. And I say, great, name something you're wrong about. I don't know anything I'm wrong about. If I knew it, I presumably would stop being wrong about it. In my head, I'm always right in practice. So if I'm only listening to myself, no one ever prosecutes me and says, Ben, that's just wrong. Don't go that way. Because it's just my voice in my head. And I always think I'm right. The psalmist is talking to someone else. And he recognizes that if this is God, God has to have the capacity to say something I don't want to hear, to be the prosecutor, and yes, to be the judge. So the first thing I want to say to us as we take on this idea of being Spirit-led is this. We have to be willing to hear something we didn't want to hear. That is to say, we must hear God as God, not ourselves in disguise. We have to be willing to hear something we didn't want to hear. Furthermore, this is 3 through 4, 6, and also verse 9. For the enemy has pursued my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me sit in darkness like those long dead. Therefore, my spirit faints within me. My heart within me is appalled. I stretch out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. Deliver me from my enemies, O Lord. I have fled to you for refuge. Second thing I want to emphasize is the dependence of the believer on his God. Did you hear the language there? I'm going to you for refuge. I have nowhere else to go. If I don't go to you, I'll be destroyed. I'm going to you and I'm thirsty. I need you like water, right? Do you feel the dependence there? When we're listening to God and what he wants of us, we have to believe with that kind of dependence. Another way to say that is we need to be led somewhere only God can take us. If I'm listening and I hear my own voice telling me to go somewhere I can get in my own strength, again, I'm saying that doesn't sound like God to me. What God does is he calls us and saves us and redeems us and revives us and resurrects us and takes us somewhere we could not go without him. A church's vision, a church's dream, a church's purpose, both individually and as a group, must be something so brazenly outrageous that it would be impossible if it was not an act of God. Say it another way, when we get to the other side of that purpose, and God has done all things well, we should be forced to say, had it not been the Lord who was on our side, we would have surely died. It never would have worked without him. Why? Well, you know why. Soli Deo Gloria. Because at the end of the day, he has to have all the glory. And if I did it under my own strength and my own power, he doesn't get any of it. Not only does he need to get some of it, he needs to get all of it. It has to be something only he can do. And if you're hearing less than that, keep listening. That's you, and that's not God. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all that you have done. I ponder the work of your hands. Let me hear in the morning of your steadfast love, for in you I trust. Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. One of the great ironies of our logo statements, our value statements, is we're passion-driven, forward-thinking, Spirit-led. Scripture teaches that to be truly forward-thinking, you have to start by being a remembering person. Now, last week I emphasized we're not backwards-looking. We're not trying to go back and relive the past. That's what God has already done. That's the past. We're looking forward to what he's going to do next. But how do I know what he's going to do next? The psalmist says, one of the ways I know is I remember all the times he was there. I remember all the things that he did that no one else could do. And I look back and I say, every time there was an obstacle and every time there was a challenge, God was there. And that tells me in the days and challenges to come, it may be different. The challenges may be different, his response may be different, but the same God will respond. And so one of the ways we discern what it means to know where God is leading us is to remember where God has been. We remember the outrageous and unthinkable and unbelievable acts of God in our past. Times when we dreamed big and God dreamed even bigger and wonderful things happened. We don't look back at that with complacency and say, well, good, I'm glad that happened. We say, I wonder what the next thing could be. And we wait for those opportunities. We look at what God has already done in our lives. I don't think God starts preparing our path on a Tuesday because we prayed for it on a Monday. You understand? I think God has been laying down the path long before we knew to ask for it. It's quite likely, in my opinion, it's quite likely that God has already put in our midst the resources and opportunities that we're going to need for the next set of challenges, and we don't even know why they're there. I'm a big believer in the idea that God knows what's coming up next. So one of the things I do when I'm saying, where is God leading me? I look around and I say, well, what has he given me? You know, as a kid, my parents would help, you know, when you're little, they help pick out your clothes, okay? And that was how I knew what the weather was going to be like. Because if mom set out a coat, it means it's going to be cold, okay? Mom sets out my raincoat, it means it's going to be wet. That's kind of what I'm suggesting. You look around at your church and you say, God treats us as children because we need it. And he sets out things and he says, Ben, here, you're going to need this later. And I say, oh, I wonder what that means. And that's an insight into what's coming ahead. What resources has God already put in front of us in our past and our present? Where is he leading us to go next? Make me know the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. I also want to emphasize that being led by God can't be confused, again, with your intuition. It has to be, at times, counterintuitive. God's ways are taught. God's ways are learned. They aren't chosen. In other words, I'm not saying, God, I would like to make some choices about my life coming up, and I would really appreciate it if you bless those choices. Okay? That's treating God as your genie who comes out of the lamp and provides something for you that you wanted in the first place. To be Spirit-led means God already knows what He wants. It's my job to discover it. I want to be taught the ways of God. I want to learn where He would have me to go. We are not trying to invent the will of God. We are simply trying to hear it. And that difference means everything. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring my soul out of trouble. And in your steadfast love, you will cut off my enemies and you will destroy all the adversaries of my soul. For I am your servant. That's how the psalm ends. And if I can give you then one last kind of simple affirmation about what it means to be Spirit-led. I know the ultimate end of where God is leading. Okay. I don't always know which back roads we're going to take to get there. In fact, quite often I have no idea. But I know where I'm supposed to end up. I'm supposed to end up at a place where, for your name's sake, O Lord, for God to have His glory, I become His servant. The end is God's glory. The path is my service. And that's where we're going next. I'm not always sure what it looks like, but I can promise you God is not going to lead you in a direction that serves yourself. I can promise you that God is not going to lead you in a way that is comfortable to what you want right now. I can promise you that where God is leading is going to require you to sacrifice, to give, and to serve other people. I can promise you that at the end of the day, when you've done all those things, it will be to God's glory and not yours. When you're willing to accept that about the path of God, then again, I'll make my firm affirmations. I don't have any idea how He does it. The more I say I do, the less I seem to know. But He puts the path before my feet and makes it so I can walk in it. He even gives me good shoes. He tells me where to go. He prepares the way. This morning, and for I hope the rest of our lives as a church, we commit ourselves to being a people who are led by God. Not a group of people who are self-serving and self-devoted, but a people who are upward-looking, or to say it differently, passion-driven, forward-thinking, and Spirit-led. Would you pray with me? Our Father and our God, we thank You for Your guidance. Guidance that we believe in and do not understand. We thank You for Your word, which is to us a light and lamp to the path ahead, though we do not know the way. Crush in us every ounce of pride that would cause us to trust in ourselves rather than depend on You, and help us to face Your glorious future in faith and trust that You have prepared the way already. This we pray in the name of Jesus, Your Son. Amen. Finally, this morning, before we conclude, let me just first say, if you are at a table for the ministry fair and would like to be dismissed to the lobby, you can go ahead and the rest of us will join you shortly. This morning, you will have one more opportunity to participate in the ministry fair. It's out in the lobby with tables set up for the various things that we do here as a church. We're looking for people who want to serve and be committed to what God is doing in the world and in this church and this community. Please take a few minutes between now and class to go out there and put your name on a list, put your name on several, and see where you might be of service to God. Last week, we gave out these little cards that said the Spirit is leading us to, and we said fill in the blank. I'm curious kind of what kind of things might come back. Some of them immediately, you had an answer on the tip of your tongue, wrote it down, put it in the box, and we're good to go. Some of them kind of made their way in throughout the week and on Wednesday night, and I suspect some of them will continue to. Some of you texted me and emailed me and said, hey, I forgot my card, but this is what I was going to say. And so I wrote it on a card and stuck it in the thing. All good. So if you see them and they all look like they have my handwriting, I promise they're not all for me. None of them are for me. But I did write a bunch of them. Okay. So what I wanted to do this morning is again encourage you, there's some more of those cards out there by the bulletin board. Take a minute today, this week, and jot down some thoughts for your leadership, your elders, and your staff to have a time to see and hear from you what God is doing and how he's at work in your life. And then I wanted to share, I just picked out a couple. I didn't read any that were bad, by the way. They were all good, fantastic. Some of them, though, I just thought were just especially thought-provoking, and I wanted to share them this morning as an example to all of us of what kinds of things might be out there. The Spirit is leading us to continue being faithful. It's been a weird few years, and one of the simplest, most honest thing that I can imagine God saying to us is, keep picking up one foot and putting it down after another. Stay on the path. Show up. Just be there and see if God doesn't do something. God can do a whole lot of things in my life when I show up. When I show up, I find out he was already there. So sometimes the answer is simply to say, God's not done with us yet, and we're not done with God. And we're going to continue to be faithful and committed to the task of being his people. The Spirit is leading us to trade caution for faith. So easy, especially when we're talking about the Spirit-led life, to take out a very practical path. And I'm kind of a practical guy. And there's part of me that wants to be a pragmatist and say, just do the things that can be done. But what did we say this morning in the lesson? The path has to lead somewhere only God could go. And that means it should be a little bit scary. It should be just a little bit on the far side of impossible. It should be the kind of place you could only go in faith and never in confidence in yourself. We're going to trade caution for faith. That sounds like the kind of thing God would want us to do. And then finally, the Spirit is leading us to be a voice for compassion in a world of extremes. We have seen in the last few years some of the worst aspects of fallen human nature. I like to think there's good out there. I'm a believer. But we've seen a lot of the ugly. Wouldn't it be something if God had a group of people who were committed to avoiding the extremes and the hatred and the toxic environments and attitudes and behaviors, and instead to be something different in the world? As if he had some people that would be like salt on the earth. Wouldn't that be something? Wouldn't that be the kind of thing that God might tell us to do? That sounds exactly right. These are the kind of ideas that challenge me to say, how can we do this better? Some of them are very specific, some of them are open-ended, but really, we want to hear from you. We want to know what it is that we're doing or that we can be doing that God would lead us to do more of. And I think there are far, far better things ahead than any we leave behind.